Something, and I hope it will bless you tonight. Amen. It's something that is dear to my heart. It's something that I've been practicing in the last 6-7 months, the grace of God. You know, I'm just going to flow from the messages that Pastor has been sharing about the great redemption, trading places. I call it the great exchange. Amen. Praise God. And I believe we'll be blessed tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to continue from that same message to carry on from there, because you know we've talked a great deal about the great exchange. We've talked about what Jesus has done. We've talked about his death, his burial, his redemption, his everything. But his death brought about the grace of God, the new covenant. So we are in a dispensation of grace. But the key thing for me, I've come to understand, grace is not a curriculum. It's not a curriculum. It's not something, you know, whatever I didn't understand by the word curriculum. Amen. All right. Grace is not just the message that we talk about in church. Grace is not just a topic. You know, it can be a topic, but it's not just a topic. Grace is more than the unmerited favor of God. We say it's unmerited favor. Yeah, we're not far from it, but it's more than that, based on what I've learned in the last few months. Okay. Grace is a person. Grace is a person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So when we relate with grace, with that mindset, it changes a lot of things. It's not just a one-off thing. You know, we're thinking about unmerited favor, goodness of God. We just want to see that. No, but when we relate to grace as a person, it changes the whole dynamics of what grace is about. Okay, so let's look at my main text is John chapter 1. Let's read from 16 to 17. We'll read it first in the King James Version. That is where all the other Bibles get their stuff from. So King James is the main thing. And then we'll look at International Christian Bible. I believe that's what ICB stands for. So let's read. It says, the word was full of grace. If you look at the word in this text, you can see the word is capital W, not a small W. Anytime you see something relating to God and use a capital letter at the beginning of it, it's deity. It's not just ordinary. So when we read Bible text, we just need to be, look at this little thing. So the word was full of grace and truth. From him, we all receive more and more blessings. This King James. I don't think so. No. I want the King James, sorry. Yeah, I like King James. Thou seeth, thou loveth. These new versions of the Bible, they sometimes, you know, they don't hit it. It says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the ICB version. Let's read that. So the word was full of grace and truth. From him we all received more and more blessings. Verse 17. And the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to take that text, just go on from there to talk about the person of grace. If we look at the Bible, if we look at Abraham's, you know, we used to think it's because of the new covenant we have grace. I personally don't believe so. I'll tell you why. If I want to use the life of Abraham as an example. Abraham did not have the law. The law was given after years, 400 or 500 years after Abraham, when the nation of Israel was formed. The law was given to the nation of Israel only. So Abraham was living the life of grace. That is what it means. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. There was no law for Abraham to keep. So that's why you and I, when we read the Bible, we're wondering, this man is a liar. He can lie. He didn't do it once. He did it twice. Do you know God did not rebuke him for it at any time? God did not say, why did you lie? That is grace in action, because he had a relationship with grace. So God knew it. So grace covers you. God, grace helps you. There is nothing that God has created in this world that can sustain itself. The earth cannot sustain itself. That's why in the end of time, God will wrap up the earth. Why? Because of what man is doing to the earth. The earth can't take it. The earth can't take sin. It's not sinning, sin in itself. There's a difference between sinning and sin. And that's what grace has come to address. Grace has come to address sin and nature. It's because of our nature, before we got born again or before we became Christians, that's why we do the things we do. Why we see the wickedness in the world is because of sin. You don't do good so that you will be good. Sorry. You do good because you are good. Because you have become the righteousness of God. So sometimes, what we do most times as Christians is we are trying to become good. Having been saved by grace, we now believe that we can do things by ourselves. So we try to do all the good works. Good works are good, but good works will not make you good. The only reason you do good works is because you are good and because grace has made you good. Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. So our relationship, when we think of grace, think of the person of Jesus. For if Jesus dwells in you, your dispensation, the way you carry yourself, will be different. We so focus on, oh, Jesus died for me. He rose again from the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we stop there. And we don't go any further. We don't even take advantage of this grace. Sin in the life of a Christian is not an issue. It is when we focus on sin, then it becomes an issue. But if we focus on righteousness and we focus on the grace of God, you'll find out that sin is not an issue. When people begin to talk about grace, they say, oh, you're talking about grace. You're making it look so easy so people can go and sin and all of that. It's only a stupid person, excuse the language, that will take grace and then go and sin. Because grace gives you the empowerment to live the righteous life. So we need to understand that grace that we have received and begin to walk in that reality. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've left my note. Let me go back to it. Okay. So when we talk about the great exchange, it needs to be reinforced in our minds. Yes, of the truth, Jesus Christ died, rose, and ascended. That was a one-time event. He's not going to die again. He's not going to be buried again. He's not going to rise again from the dead. Okay. He died once and will not die again, but we need to make a conscious effort to condition our minds to align with this truth. Grace is who enables us to walk in this reality of the new creation. So the Bible says that we have been recreated, and by grace we are now God's handiwork. So we don't live by our own power or strength. We live by grace. By the grace of God. So that is how we're able to live this life. And when I say condition our minds, we need to constantly renew our minds. We need to constantly speak to our minds. When you got born again, your spirit got born again. Your mind did not get born again. Your body did not get born again. That's why the Bible says we should constantly renew our minds. Amen. So in Romans chapter 12. You have to do that. It's a conscious effort. But you can't do it all by yourself. Because what we do is we try to live this life by ourselves. You can't be righteous outside of Christ. You can't be good outside of God, no matter what you do. Even if you give $1 million to the best charity in this nation, it doesn't make you good. It doesn't make you good. It's only by His grace that we are good. So good works are good, but they don't make you good. So we only do good works because of who we are, who we've become. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we don't live by our own power or strength. We live by grace, and inconsistency lies the power. A daily confession, a daily speaking, a daily relationship with God. Okay, so if you look at, I'm going to give an example. You know, sometimes you pray and you don't get answers because you have an expectation for God to answer that prayer like this. Somebody will just come, knock your door and leave a bag of dollars or pounds and say, the Lord sent me to you and all your problems are solved. If he doesn't do that, doesn't mean he's not God. He is still who he is. If you pray for something and you don't get it in a year, does that change who God is? He is still who he is. Like I was saying yesterday to my wife, God is constant. I don't know if I was saying it to you or somebody else, but I was saying something like that. God is constant. God is not moving left or right. He's here. So we are the ones who need to approach him and come to him and draw from him. You know, this world is crazy. I avoid listening to the news. This world is mad. There is no way you can live the Christian life effectively without the grace of God. So when we think of the grace, let's go beyond the boundaries of thinking his unmerited favor. It is the favor of God or the goodness of God. Let's relate with a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. You'll find that it will change the way you pray. So you're not praying 10 hours. And you know, sometimes I've seen it. There's nothing wrong praying for 10 hours. But you know, sometimes you pray for 10 hours and you come out and there's this thing about you. Yes, I spent 10 hours today and God heard my prayer. The heavens were moved and God did something. For me, I think that's where we miss it. It's not your 10 hours of prayer that got the answers to you. It's the grace of God. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. So it frees you from trying to make God do something he has already done. He's already done it. You can hear pastor preach about it. He's already done it. We just have to receive it. And we do that by faith. But we can only grow in our faith when we relate with grace. Grace is available anytime. But we have to work. That's the only work we need to do. We don't have to work so hard to make something happen. We just have to rest in his grace and be at ease. I don't know if this happened to you before. There are sometimes I try to worry. It doesn't work. I want to worry, especially maybe money issues. I want to worry because my not worrying is making me worried, if you get what I mean. It's not normal. You're going through stuff and it's not, you know, that is the grace of God. And at those times, they are my best moments. You know, when thoughts begin to come, you're not worried. That bill is tomorrow. I've cast my care. I do it. I put it in my hand. I've cast my care on the Lord. There's some things we need to be practical with our faith. You know, when we talk about, we have grace. We have to let it control us rather than us trying to control God. Because that's what we try to do sometimes. We try to do something. If I do this good thing, God will bless me. That is the time of the law. We're not under the law. And do you know why the people couldn't keep the law? Because they had no grace. The Spirit of God was not given to them like we have him today. And that's why God made provisions for sacrifices. And God made those provisions because he knew if he doesn't make that provision, he will kill all of them. Because God was coming in his person to dwell amongst human beings that don't have any sense of direction. They are selfish. They think of themselves only. They don't care about anybody else. So God said, if I leave these people, I will kill them. He actually wanted to do it. And Moses interceded and said, if you do this, the Egyptians will think that you're not that powerful. You saved them only for you to destroy them. And God restrained himself. That's what the law was for, was just to guide the people. But now we are under grace. See, in those days, people cannot approach the ark. Now we are carrying the ark and running with it. Because the fullness of God dwells in us, and in him we are complete. And that's grace. So we need to relate with grace as a person, as we go on every day in life. You know, sometimes you pray. I was just meditating on this today. You pray and then you don't get an answer. Does it mean God doesn't want you to have that thing? Because we have this deficit attitude, defeatist attitude, that when we pray and God doesn't answer, it means God doesn't want us to have it. It's not true. It is not true. So if you're sick and you pray and you don't get healing, does that mean God doesn't want you well? So we need to understand that God works all things in his time. And whatever he has said, we need to make up our minds to stay in that place until the thing is made manifest. And you can't do it by yourself. It's not about fasting 40 days and 40 nights. But it's good to fast 40 days and 40 nights if you can. The main thing is, it is grace that will help you. Even the fast you want to fast, is the grace that will help you to fast. So you find that this frees you from trying so hard to be a Christian. You are saved, you are saved. If you know that you know, that you know that you know you are saved, you are saved. You just need to let God do his work. When we rest, God works. Amen. But when we work, I don't want him to rest. I want to rest so that he can do the work. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's begin to look at what grace does for us. And remember, when I say grace, I'm talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the first one is, grace teaches us how to live. Grace teaches us how to live. Let's look at the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. King James, please. Okay. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let's look at the ESV, a Bible. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So you see that the grace of God is beyond just saying unmerited favor. That's why I said grace is a person, is Jesus that will teach us how to live in this world that we live in. We can't live by our own power or by our own might. The Bible says not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. And if you look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, I didn't give you this, don't worry about it. It says, he who hath begun a good work, who started the work? God. Who will finish the work? The same God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So there's nothing really we can do by our own might. And in the times we live in right now, we really need the grace of God to stand. We really need the grace of God to be able to profess our faith. We need the grace of God Almighty to really run this race. We can't do it without his grace. We can't do it without that person. So we need to make the conscious effort to relate with grace as a person. He is Jesus Christ. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will do a lot of things. Without me, you can do nothing. So there's no way you can be effective as a Christian outside of the grace of God. So yes, we're saved, we're born again, but we can't become perfect and matured by doing our own works. We have to do this work by the grace of God. Amen. I need to run. I didn't know that time was gone like that. Praise God. Let's look at another thing grace does for us. Grace empowers us to live right. We've read it in Titus, but I'm going to read it in another part again. It empowers, grace empowers us to live right. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 in the TPT. Sorry, I have a lot of versions today. Okay. So, now we come freely and boldly where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Amen. Amen. In our time of weakness. But grace is not only available in our time of weakness. Grace is available all the time. And it's there for us to access this grace of God. Amen. You know, when we used to do evangelism, we'll go out, talk to people and all of that. It's something I used to do way, way, way long time ago. But when we started doing it here, the dynamics are different. So how will I talk to this person? Would you not say, I'm going to call police, 911, this guy's harassing me, stuff like that, you know? But I've watched Minister Like As You Go, his passion for it. So I was like, I'm trying too hard to do it. Jesus, I want to do it. That is all. So the boldness with which I walked into that cafe across the road, that was not just me being, you know, it's the grace of God. That's not something I'll never do because I believe I'm interrupting their business. I was expecting them to say, please get out. But the lady was very, very nice and told me where to put the tracts and everything in the cafe. That is the grace of God. Is he singing? It is the grace of God. I didn't go to any school. Nobody taught me how to do it. I just said, I want to do this, and it's the grace of God. It's something I do effortlessly with joy. It is the grace of God. And that is why I said I've been learning about this grace of God for the past 6 months. I want to transfer that into everything. If there's something I see in my home, I don't like it. I told you, I'll wrap it up. I cast it onto the Lord. It gives me peace of mind. You can't change anybody, especially as parents. We think you have to do it. This is my house, my rules. If you don't like it, tough. The last thing I want to do is they will hate it. And I don't want them, because they'll get to this stage where they're their own person. What are you going to do? You can't make them. You can't, you know, if it's Nigeria, if it's back home, you pull your belt and those kind of, it doesn't work here, you know. So it is the grace of God that will help you to be sane. I like my peace. Anything, whether human or spirit, that threatens my peace, it takes the grace of God for me not to see that thing or person as an enemy. I don't toy with my peace of mind at all. I like to be at peace. I don't like wahala. I don't like stress. I don't like stress. I just believe, just live life and be pleasant to people. It's effortless. It's only when we want to do it by our own power, then somebody offends you and you say, okay, this is how it works. Okay, tit for tat. No, it takes the grace of God to do that. Exercising self-control. I'm just sharing you my struggles. Self-control, I think to an extent, God has worked with me so well to exercise self-control. There was something my former boss said. Somebody did something to me in the office, sent me a stinker of an email, and copied my manager to that email. My manager was like, oh no, she shouldn't have done that. I've never seen this man angry. I've never seen this man da-da-da. Why did she do that? And I was typing my reply back. Like the Spirit of God used her. She called me instantly and said, don't reply to that email. I'm dealing with it. Don't reply to that email. And that's how God helped. That's the grace of God. Because what I was typing, it would have gone back and forth, really, because, you know. So self-control, is it anger issues? I've learned to control my anger. It's the grace of God. I can't tell you this is how to do it or that. It's the grace. Just submit to this grace. And you'll find out that he will help you. Help you in your time of weakness. Help you in your time of struggle. Maybe you've said that prayer. You're waiting on God for something for years. And nothing has, not even a sound to say you are on the right track. Hold on. Let his grace keep you in that place. Amen. At the appointed time when he comes. You know, I love sometimes when God wants to come. Hey, Malo, Shata. He will come with his fullness. Even you will be embarrassed to receive the blessing. And you begin to ask yourself, I don't know if you receive a blessing, you begin to ask yourself, God, why? What did I do? I don't deserve this. I don't think I'm good enough to deserve this. So let's not go on feeling like we've prayed, we've read our Bible, we've quoted all the scriptures we can remember, and then God is not showing up. God, you are there. Why are you not answering me? You know, sometimes we do that. We just feel we're entitled. You're entitled to nada. If God doesn't want to do it, he will not do it. But he will do it because of his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So let's look at another thing that grace does for us. Grace strengthens us. He strengthens us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to run quickly now. It says, I begged the Lord three times to take this problem away from me. But the Lord said, my grace is all you need. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. So I will gladly boast, that is Paul talking, I will gladly boast about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can stay in me. So we can do nothing of our own power or strength or might. It is by the power of God. So whatever it is we're facing, whatever things we're waiting on God for, we just need his grace to stand. Having done all, you know, yes, you need to confess the word. You know, you need to pray. You know, you need to ask him. Then ask for that grace to stand. Because stuff will come against you. Just maintain your stand. Whatever the situation is, just stay your ground. And God will show up for you. He might not come in a mighty way with trumpets and horses, with angels. He might use another person. Not all angels have wings. It's in the Bible in Hebrews. Say, by entertaining strangers, you don't even know you've entertained angels. So God will come if we just stay in that place of grace. It's a place of calm where we're not running helter-skelter, trying to sort things out ourselves. If you're going to do it, why do you need God then? You can just as well. God will just, I believe that's what he does. You know, God has a good sense of humor. It's okay. When you finish, you let me know. I'm here. It's me and you. We are here. Okay, when you finish, you come. And the good thing is when you come, you say, are you done? Are you ready now? You ready? Let me do my own thing. If you say yes, God will step in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. God is good. We bless him. So we're talking about grace. Grace makes everything we need. Grace has made a provision for. And by our faith, we say thank you. Grace makes, and we say thank you. That's why we're not praying for him to do something he's already done. We want to enforce what is already done. He takes the grace of God to do that. And that's why we give thanks. If you look at the model of prayer, Jesus taught the disciples, says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How did he finish? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise, thanksgiving in between your petition. Because grace has made all things available. So grace makes, faith takes. That's how we live. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 21 in the TPT version. Amen. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's grace, God's great acceptance has begun. After he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the minister, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. Then he added, these scriptures came true today in front of you. That is grace in action. What did Jesus do? Jesus took that scripture is from Isaiah. He read it and said, today in your ears, this scripture has been fulfilled. And that is what grace is. Grace has made it available. So when I'm not feeling well in my body, I'm not going to be moved by the way I feel. I'm going to read that scripture. By his stripes, I have been healed. Then I speak to my body. Body, today, this scripture has been fulfilled here and now. And I go about my business. Doesn't mean I'll start feeling all okay. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter how my body is. It is written. It is fulfilled. So we have to do this constantly. You know, sometimes we just want to pray. We do fire brigade kind of prayer. I've been there, so I know, you know. We wait until something happens before we pick the Bible, and then we remember that scripture, and we quote it, and say, yes, amen, go. And then we begin to wait to see if the clouds will open or angels will sound the trumpet. It doesn't work that way most times. God can do stuff instantly, but most times he just wants us to learn how to trust him. And you can't trust him without working in grace. Amen. Praise God. So one thing I've been doing in recent times, like I said, is just looking at scriptures. I want to experience what the Bible says. No, that's grace. It's true. It's not only for the apostles. They raised the dead. Why can't we not raise the dead? Why can't we not lay hands on the sick and they are healed? Why can't we not speak a word and it comes to pass? We need to be living in his power. And that is his grace. Allow his grace to flow in us. We should be able, in your workplace, somebody's not feeling well, just say, can I pray for you? And just pray. And see healing instantly. It's not every time we have to preach and quote scriptures. The people in the world don't understand what scriptures are. You can't be quoting John chapter 3, verse 16. They'll ask you, what is that? What does it mean? How does it apply to me? But if they see power, that's all they need. You can't argue with results because results don't lie. Amen. You know, truth is truth. You can't change it. It's nothing like relative truth. It's either it is true or it is not. I am here. I'm standing here. You can't tell me I'm not standing here. Say, oh, your body is here. Your mind is not here. I am here. I'm standing here. You can't change it. So we need to hold on. It's the grace of God that will keep us. It's the grace of God that will help us to do that. So we need to become more grace conscious. I'm going to run now. And not work conscious. We don't do good works so that we'll be right with God. We do good works because we are right with God. If truly we have confessed him as Lord and Savior and believed in our heart that God raised him up from the dead. So our relationship with grace is crucial to the outcome of our lives. Like I said earlier, sin is no longer an excuse or an issue not to have a relationship with God or to continue this Christian race. We can't make any excuse on that last day and say, I couldn't do it. Of course, you can't do it on your own. You need the grace of God. And Pastor has taught us this in the last series of messages. Grace is available everywhere. The grace of God has appeared to all men, not just to Christians, all men. And it's teaching us how to live every day. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's learn to relate with grace. Let's learn to walk with God and just allow him do only what he can do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.